Cheers. Morning.
Yes, let's keep our energy more because there are a lot to come. Still in the process of our service. So we are being looking at the series that's called Treasure. So we've been finding out a treasure after a treasure every week since last 4 weeks. We have, so that means we have found 4 treasures. Yes. So anyone can shoot out 4? Prayer. Very good. So fasting. Praise. Faith. Perfect. Very good audience. Like, you've been remembering all those treasures. That means you are keeping hold of the treasure. That's now the 5th one on the slide. So that's going to be serve. Serving God is also a great treasure that what we are going to look this morning in detail about. So why serving God is a treasure? Do you think that it's a treasure? Why serving God is a treasure? Any answers? All the answers are good. There's nothing right, wrong. You're not being judged. You can shoot out whatever comes to your mind. How do you think serving God would be a treasure? Serving is rewarding. Yes. So that's what even the verse says, Proverbs 19:17. It says, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. In a matter of serving God, it also says about serving others as well. So when we serve others, internally we are serving God, and it also means that we are lending to God, but he would be rewarded from back God. So don't we really think, because God is giving you something in turn, a reward. Because in our workplaces, in our schools and colleges, whenever there is this sermon, it's called rewards and recognition. We are so happy for names on the list, right? We've been so happy when we've been rewarded for being punctual. We've been rewarded for regularly attending all the classes. We've been rewarded for outstanding performance in our organization. So we are so happy and excited when we receive this reward. If that is being so precious and really makes us feel so happy, how much more it is when we receive a reward that is from our Lord God. So that's the reason serving God is also known as a real treasure. So let's keep moving on and looking into, like, how do we serve God and what are the ways that, you know, we can serve God. So what is serving God means? James 2 verse 14 to 17 that's on the slide says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical need, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. So we looked out about faith last week, and we saw about prayer, fasting, everything in the previous weeks. So when we learn all these things, we found all the treasure. Now everything is in our hand. It's all about inwards. So unless and until I don't exercise my faith, unless and until I don't act on what I receive, there is no point how much of a faith I have. How do I evaluate my faith? How do I say that I have so much of faith in God unless and until I don't exercise it? I believe that God will save me from all these things. So unless and until I don't go forward and do things for the God, how do I say that I have faith in God? How people will come to know that this person, this man or this woman is full of faith? By looking at our actions. So that's what even here the author says. You know, unless and until if there is no actions involved in our faith, it is of no point. So there's even an illustration that's given. So what is the point just giving them the word of comfort, like unless and until if you're not able to go one step extra and serve them? So there is no point. So that's the reason we say, you know, serving God is very more important in our daily lives. So it widely means 2 things. Serving God as like worshipping God, and also ministering or like doing things for God. So any kind of some guesses, like looking at this picture, what kind of an incident it is from the Bible? It means like a lot of incidents similar to what has happened. I know it's like a little difficult. I'll give the answer right away. It's Joshua addressing Israelites. So it's something like this. People of Israelites, they've been for almost around 400 plus years, they've been as a slave in Egypt, and God has sent Moses, delivered them, and they've been in the wilderness for 40 plus years. They're traveling all the way to the promising land that God has promised them. That is Canaan, where it says, like, you know, milk and honey flow. Such a flourishing and nourishing land that God has promised for his people. So these people are now moving on from the Egypt. They cross the Red Sea. They cross the river of Jordan. And now they are almost entering into the state. So earlier it was started with the leadership of Moses. Then the baton was passed on to Joshua. So now Joshua is also getting older. And now it's time. They have to move on. So Joshua called up all the people of Israelites for the final time. He says, like, come on, let's all come together. I would let you know, let you recall what has happened. And let me tell you all the things which has happened. So that's what we see in this Joshua chapter 24 verses 14 and 15. It says, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served before beyond the Euphrates or the gods of Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. So it was a land which was so flourishing, nourishing land. But however, there was this thing also in place. The land was full of immorality. The land was filled with idolatry worships and stuff. So the culture was so bad at that point of time, the people who were existing in the land of Canaan. So Joshua, he knew it. He was very clear and aware of how the people of Canaan was. So he is actually addressing it to the people, because this is a new generation, right? So the people who have started from Egypt, so after 40 years, the entire generation have changed. Now it's become a new people, set of people who was young, who was just born when they left, is now 40 years old adult. So they all have to be very clear of what happened, because they don't know the history. So he's telling them all the things which has happened in the past. And then he says, now is the time for you to decide whom are you going to serve. So this is in a similar fashion, even today, if the question kept in front of us. So whom do you serve? It's a time for us to decide. Like a lot of long time back, we would have decided that I'm going to serve the Lord God in all the ways. So what is that? Is there anything that came in between during the time of course of our life that we have missed to our commitment which you have said? Or am I still in the right track of decide what I have decided? That I have decided to follow Jesus, and there is no turning back. So what am I, whom am I serving even today, is what the question that is like in front of us. There are a lot of incidents and situations or the characters of recorded in Bible who served God in spite of all the situations. When we mean to serve God, it's not only in the time of praise, it's not only in the time of high, it's not only in the time of joy, but even in the times of our lows, even in the times of our downs, even in the time of our depressions, any time it is, whatever the state of our life we are going through, but it is very clear that we need to serve God in all our situations. So one more example I would like to highlight here. I think this could be easily figured out. Even before it's clear. So that's Mr. Job. So what happened to him? We all knew the story, right? So I'll just quickly summarize the story of Job. He was a wealthy, rich, super duper rich man. He had so many things with him. Like he had 7,000 sheep. He had 3,000 camels. He had 500 oxen. He had 500 donkeys. He had 7 sons, 3 daughters. Lot of servants he had. Such a big, wealthy man he was. But in one fine day, everything was taken away. Everywhere from there, just one after the other person comes, and then he says, all the 7,000 sheep of last, I'm the only person who got escaped and came to convey the news to you. And by the time the next person comes, and then he says, all the 3,000 camels are lost, I'm the only person who got escaped and to let you know the news. So this is what is happening. And then the other person comes and says, like, all your sons and daughters, they've been feasting and enjoying in their elder brothers. No, everyone are dead. Nobody exists now. So what a such a saddening situation. It didn't end there. Even furthermore, we see his body. It was full of painful sores. Everywhere from head to toe, all the parts of his body, he sees that, you know, it's all been fully having painful sores. He's not even able to, you know, put his hands on his body. It's like so irritating, itching and things. So at that point of time, his own wife comes to him and then she says this verse. His wife said to him, "Are you still maintaining with integrity? Curse God and die." But look at his reply. He replied, "You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? In all this, Job did not sin in what he has said." So that's a classic example of how serving God is like, you know, like in spite of everything that happens, even his own wife comes and tells, like, "Still, do you want to maintain your integrity? What is happening? So why do you want us to stand firm in worshiping God and staying close to God, in worshiping this God? Because he has taken away everything." No, it's not about the blessings. It's not just only about the rewards. It's not only about, you know, things that we receive from God, but it talks about how firm I stand in the presence of God, irrespective of my situations. So he says very clearly, don't be like a foolish woman. In today's life, if in our case, if all the possession that we have has been taken away, what would be our response towards God? Even a smallest sickness that comes into our life, then we ask God, why me again? I've been praying to you, I've been fasting, I've been praising you all my time. I have faith in you. In your name, I went ahead and did this for you. But why this has not happened to me, or why this has happened to me that I am feeling so down and low? But even after losing all these possessions, even after losing all his sons and daughters, this man stood stand firm for his God. So that's an expectation from God, even in our lives this morning, that no matter of my circumstances, no matter of the rewards I received, no matter of what I lost, what I got, but I will stand firm in serving God in the decisions that I have made to worship Him and to adore Him. There are, again, furthermore, like one more instance I would like to highlight. Who are these people? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Wonderful church you are. We are very familiar with a lot of things, so it's very easier for me to move forward. Like, you know, in spite of the peer pressure, we need to serve God. So that's what it very clearly says. So these three men who were from Jerusalem had been taken as a captives by the king Nebuchadnezzar to the city of Babylon. As they landed in the city, Nebuchadnezzar is using their talents and gifts so that he can build his own kingdom and he can expand. So these people from Jerusalem, they came here and they are now under a kind of a bondage or a slavery under this king. So this king has made up a golden statue. He kept it stood there, and then he was saying, all the nation come forward, and when there's a trumpet, when the music is being blown, you all should bow down before this statue. So when this was said, everyone bowed down. Almost the whole multitude of nation came together and they bowed down. But in that spite of crowd, just three men, we see they stood against to it. And then they're saying, no, I'm not going to do it. Being away from the hometown, they've been far away from their town. Very few of the chosen people are here. And they are, even before also we see that they refrained from themselves from eating, not eating what the king ordered. Rather, they had a proper fasting of eating only what God has commanded them. So a lot of things. So nobody's going to watch over them. They don't have their parents with them. They don't have the elders with them. There's no one else going to say to it that what you did is wrong. What you're going to do is against to God. You're sinning against God. Nobody is there to finger point at them and then say, like, don't do this. But still, they stood for the Lord, irrespective of what are the pressure that comes across to them. So the response to them, if you see, they say, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hands. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your God or worship the image of gold that you have set up. So they are very clear and strong enough in their response. They say that our God is capable enough to save us, to rescue us, even if you put us into the burning furnace. Even if not, even if God didn't save us, if our life is being taken away, that's okay for us, but we are very clear that we are not going to do so. The image or the statue which you kept in front of us. So even today, in our daily lives, we go across multiple places. Sunday after Sunday, we are here in church. We have our pastors, we have our leaders, we have people around us. But during the week, in our regular workplaces, in our schools, in our colleges, wherever we are, how is our response to things around us? There are a lot of people looking at us. There are a lot of things happen around. For that matter, students, when the teacher is not in your class, employees, when your boss or the manager is not looking at you, what is your response? How are we looking at them? So are we living a life which is covered up, which is having a dual standard? When people are looking at me, I'm something other. When there is no one else looking at me, I'm living a life which is different. Am I wearing a mask in front of every person I see? How is it my life is all about? What kind of a life do I live in front of people, in front of others? The people whom I serve along with, the people who don't know whom I am serving, like in front of the public, in front of the world, how do I live? Inside church we come and then we sing holy, holy, holy. We say like God is so good, God is so happy of me, I am so happy, I am so proud to follow what God has commanded me, I am doing all those things for the God's kingdom, I am doing this, I am doing that. A lot of things we say in front of people, but when nobody is watching over us, when we are in personal life, when we are in outside of this setup, what is my response? How am I reacting to things that comes around? Is there any difference? If that is the case, that doesn't mean or it says that we are not serving God. The question is, the challenge is also posed in front of us, that do you serve God or do you serve the world? So what are you serving? If I serve God, then I have to be the constant in all the places, right? So that's the question that is being in front of us. Irrespective of the peer pressure, irrespective of my situation, whatever may come, whatever may go, I don't care, I don't bother about all these things that's around me. But I will keep moving forward and serving God, because I have taken a decision. I've come all the way here and saying that I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. That means definitely there is no turning back. Even yesterday we've been discussing a lot of things during our foundation course. So when we've been tempted, when there have been a lot of things that comes in front of us which is like against to what God is telling us, what we decided was like turn back. We turn ourselves back from those things. We run away from those things which is not pleasing to God, which is not what God wants me to do. That will help us to set our standards. That will help us to live a life which God wants us to live. So, how can I serve God? How can I serve God? That's a question that probably running in each of our minds. I am not a pastor. I am not a full-time ministry, into full-time ministry. I am not, you know, doing a church planting. I am not leading any ministries. How can I serve God? It's not that only the people who've been called out separately is what called us to serve God. No, it's not the case. Everyone who have been accepted Christ is called to serve God. So here there is a woman whose picture is given who is actually serving God with what she had. So this image represents, I guess, louder please, sorry. Yeah, the woman who gave 2 copper coins. That's what it talks about. So it's in the Mark chapter 12, 41 to 44. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in 2 very small copper coins, worthy only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, did everything, all she had to live on." So everyone gave out of their wealth. Everyone gave whatever they had. They all came, they all gave a portion of whatever they had. It's a huge amount. Maybe probably they had more than that, so they took a portion of it and then they came and they gave. But this woman, she came and then she put all what she had. All she had was only the 2 copper coins, and even that she had given it to God's kingdom. So that makes us, you know, to serve God with all what I have. Does that mean today like swipe your bank account and put it into the church account? No, I'm not meaning that. like, you know, give all the bank balance, whatever you have, into the church. No, that's not the case. The heart is what matters over here. So she came across, and then she believed in God, and then she gave it to God. So in today's life, like, how am I giving? Am I able to give to God? First and foremost, like, am I able to serve God with the money which He has blessed me with? We all been working, we all been earning, like, a lot of things. But then, you know, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "For the love of the money is root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. The heart of openness, allowing ourselves to die, go an extra mile when there is a need." So basically, we are not talking about saying, like, don't earn money, or like, whatever you earn, give it into the God's kingdom only, not for yourself. But the heart, the desire for money is what is the root of evil. So a lot of times what we desire is, like, I need to earn more money, I need to earn more money, and then we go into a totally different direction. We have drifted away from what God has called us for. So that's the reason we have to be very always cautious and clear about how we are spending our finances, how we are managing our finances. All those things come into picture because it plays a vital role. It's not that not giving is bad, or like, giving is good, or nothing like that. But then what we are trying to say is that, you know, the love of money is more than anything else. The love of God has been overtaken by the love of money. That's the dangerous point, because it leads us totally into the different direction from what God has called us about. Because in New Testament, we see God's very big commandment is saying that love the God as you love yourself, and also it talks about love. You love your neighbors as you love yourself as well. So we have to love even others. I can't love someone based on my self-interest. When I say love others, I can't go on a choosing. I just go on to some person XYZ because I knew if I do something to that person, definitely I will get something back from that person. Let's say, like, I give one person rupees 100. I know tomorrow he will take me home because he has that car. I know because tomorrow he's going to take care of my children. He will be pick up his kid because his kid is also studying in the same school where my kid is studying. No, that's like because of my self-interest and will, not because God has told me to do things. Why am I doing things? The intention behind serving people, the intention behind doing things has to be very clear, because that's what God says. It's not doing things for sake of getting something in return. It's not a true love. It's not a journey what God wants us to be. It's not just money. It can be anything. It can be any resource. It can be our time. It can be, like, for example, dropping someone back home after the church Sunday. We are also going on the same way. Like, we can just drop them. Not because I will get something back from that person. I knew because the person is waiting for a rickshaw. Rather than that, I will drop that person. Just because stretching out our hands, going a little extra mile, helping another person without any intention of receiving something back from that person is what really God meant to be. So, in our office, if our boss asks us to do something, like he says, like, take care of this task, update me in the evening. And then we've been focused on beautifying this. For example, he asked us to, you know, create a presentation which we need to display to the client next morning. So we've been spent the whole day in searching for a better design, how the slide can look like, or for a better, you know, font which looks very clean, which looks very attractive, which looks very, you know, nice to eyes. So I spent the whole day. Evening, when the boss asked me, where are we with the presentation? Where are we with the contents? And he says, like, this is how the design looks like. This is the picture I'm going to put in the front. This is the font I'm going to use. Boss, it's all okay. Where is the content? We missed the point. It's not about tithing. It's not about just doing things what God commanded me. Like, we missed the whole point if the content is not there in the slide. What the slide is going to make sense if it has a beautiful font, if it has a beautiful design, unless and until if there is no content in it. It's good to have design. It's good to have an attractive font. But what about the content? It's what matters a lot. That's what few people have missed during the day of Jesus. Jesus talks to Pharisees. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and even cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law: justice, mercy, faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. He says, you need to tithe. Yes, we need to tithe, but that's not all about. Just giving a portion of money to God is not what called to be a serving God. No, there's more than to it. God has asked more than that. He's not interested just in our money, but He has more than that which He's wanting from us. So that's what He is saying here. It talks about being justice, being merciful, being faithful, being patient. A lot of times we all feel like, you know, I wanted to do greater things for God. I wanted to do greater things for God. I wanted to do greater things for God. How we think, ponder upon a lot of times. But when there is an announcement in the church saying, we need people in ushering, no response. We need people in setup, no response. We need people, because every Sunday we are meeting after 5:30 the street children. We are just going to serve them. If you are available, please do come. No response. I'm not blaming anyone. I'm not pointing fingers at anyone. I'm sorry. It's like very clearly I'm saying, if we miss the point, there is no point in what I'm talking about. We don't have to miss the point which God has given us. Grab the opportunities. Grab the opportunities. Whatever that comes in front of us, we don't know. The dynamics of church will change anytime very fast. Whatever the opportunity we get today to serve God as part of the community, let's grab this opportunity is what all I wanted to say this morning. Like, grab the opportunities. We don't know tomorrow whether we would be allowed to do the things which we are doing easily today. No, we don't never know what's going to happen tomorrow. We never know whether I would be alive tomorrow. But will I be able to say this, that I will do things till the last breath, like how Paul said, you know, I finished my race. I'm so happy and faith. I'm sure that there is a God has kept this reward for me in the heaven. So will I be able to say that statement? So what is my point? Like, what is my commitment? What I have decided earlier. So as the days goes by, am I fading out from things, or am I able to do it for the kingdom of God? Not just because people ask, I do. Not just because people is looking, I'm doing. No. Then again, we are missing the point. It's not for the people. It's not for pleasing people. It's for pleasing God. It's for what God has called us. It's what for God has called you and me to do. That is the reason God is interested in us. He is not interested in our money. He's not interested in our talent. That's all He has blessed us with. It's all from Him. If He has not given, how do we get all these things? He is the one who has already given it to us. So He is more interested in our availability. He's more interested in our response towards His calling. In any act, it's not necessarily only to be, you know, certain things that has a light or a visibility. If we do only that, doesn't mean that we are doing it for God. Even the background things, the backstage things, all those things, whatever the possible ways which we do, is also means that, you know, I can serve God in all those ways. So serving God, we'll be talking about all these things from the beginning. But when we talk about all these things, it always seems that there is something going out from our side. Right? All the other treasures which we saw was something coming inside or something building up in our inside life. But this treasure which we are talking about is something like we have to do. It's something like we have to act upon. We have to respond to the calling, or we have to respond to somewhere there is a need. So how can this, I receive this as a treasure? Because we have this thought, right? The treasure is something which is like an incoming, which is an input towards me. But here it's all talking about going outward, doing something, going an extra mile, going and giving money to God, giving my time to God, giving my talents to God. Like, everything is like from inside, it's going outside. So how can this be a treasure? There is ways by serving God, we do get rewards, we do get treasures as well. So what is the treasure that I get? So who is this woman and what is she doing? Any guess? Who was in a field where she was collecting something, but it doesn't look like a field? Any other woman? Good guess, but furthermore, she's picking some firewoods. Anything that's come to your mind? So, Elijah, the man on the behind, Elijah, and this is in the widow of Zarephath. So basically, story over here is this. 1 Kings chapter 17 verse 7 to 16. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Go at once to Zarephath, the region of Sidon, and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in the jar so I may have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up. The jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was a food every day for Elijah and the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. It's very clear. She had only a handful of flour. It's already famine all over the nation. She's on her last days. She thinks that, let me make out of it and eat for me and my son. And I don't know how long I would survive, how long I would be able to live alive by having this. Anyways, I'm just doing all with what I had. Now this man comes and he says, get me a portion out of it. Already they have insufficient, right? So she is not having sufficient. She has only a handful of flour. And now there's a third person coming in and then saying that, I also need to take part in that portion. So give me also. So it was a very crucial and a critical situation for her to take a decision. But she went ahead. She did. Given a small portion out of it to Elijah. She worked on it, what the man of God has said to her. And the outcome was, last verse you see, for the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, keeping the word of Lord Elijah, spoken by Elijah. So that's what it is. It's not based on the situation. The situation looks something contradicting to what God is saying. The situation may question us back. How is it possible? How can I do it? How can I go an extra mile now? I'm already tired. I've been doing all these things. Now how can I go? I've been working. Friday has been a hectic day for me since morning till evening. Now after 8:30, if I have to come for a Bible study, how is it? How can I come? I'm so tired and exhausted. Let me take rest. So that's what the body says. That's what the situation says. That's what the world says. But if I go an extra mile, then the situation changes. If I go an extra mile in serving God, if I go an extra mile in doing things for God, seeking the kingdom of God, then everything else gets changed automatically. It surely says, it has seen and witnessed by a lot of people. There will be a lot of testimonies. If I have to put on slides or if I have to talk about people, especially the people who have come all the way from different parts of the world to our country as missionaries, there are n number of people who have sacrificed their lives to serve for the Lord. And we are today sitting and reaping the fruits of what they have done. If nobody has come into this nation, how would I have heard about God? What has happened so many years back, if nobody has carried this to me, how would I have been benefited? How would I have come to know? If I don't say to someone else, how would the other person will come to know? Unless and until I don't open up my mouth, unless and until I don't take and grab an opportunity where I will be able to serve people of God, how will I be able to expand the kingdom of God? How will I be able to serve for what God has called me for? How will I be able to do all these things is the question. It says that if we go an extra mile, definitely God is not going to let us down. Definitely God is not going to leave the things behind. He's going to turn things upside and down. Even the beginning, the story which we saw about Job, we know the end of the story, right? What has happened? Because of his faithfulness, things have came back to him. Everything was in a way, it was a double-fold blessing for him. Everything was doubled. He had 7,000, it has become 14,000. He had 3,000, it has become 6,000. He has 500 oxen, it has become 1,000 oxen, 1,000 donkeys. So everything has been doubled. So we don't know. We can't stop by just looking at the situations in front of us, because God is beyond the situation. God is beyond the time. The God who has called, the God whom we are serving, is not bounded by these restrictions which we have. He is not just able to see only what we are seeing. No, He has seen something different. That's the reason He has put this question in front of our life. That's the reason you and me are standing here. That's the reason we've been chosen. Because He knew that we would be able to do this for Him. That's the reason we are here right today, standing, and we are talking about all these things. The blessing, the reward, the treasure, there are a lot when we serve God. It also says, like, you know, anywhere else it was not mentioned to test and see God, other than this one verse, which is in Malachi chapter 3 verse 10. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in the house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. It very clearly says, when you give to God, He will give you back for sure. Whatever it is, whatever we give to God is definitely going to come back to us, in return to us. We would be reaping the benefit. We would be serving it. We would not even have enough rooms to store it. So such a kind of an abundant blessing is what God is going to give to us in return. It may be in the earthly life, or it may be in an eternal life as well. So where the treasure is holding is what matters. But out of it, how am I responding to call when I'm right now in this world? The journey of my life, the journey of my earthly life, how am I responding to God is what matters a lot. Unless and until I don't respond to it, I can't see anything in return. I can't see things which is happening. I have to be stuck with the situation. If I keep blaming the situation, if I keep sulking into it, then there is no point, because we miss the core point which God has asked us to do. He has asked us to come out of it. He has asked us to come out of this infinite loop which we are running inside all these years. He has called us for a separate purpose. He has given us a different calling. He has chosen us out from where we are planted. So that's the reason God is asking us. God is interested more in our lives, in our talents, than anything else. He is wanting us to respond back to His calling. I would like to just share a small testimony. I'm not boasting about myself or like doing things, I am doing right things or not. But what has happened is, till few years back, I think I have shared with some of us earlier also, like till few years back, it was I was not very regular in giving to God, especially when it comes to tithing part. So it was very challenging for me because of my financial crunches. I had EMIs and all those things were there always, like common man. Like, it was very struggling point for me. I was not able to give to God. I always had this excuse that saying, God, if all my EMIs are closed, then I will give more portion to you. Because another 3 years I see my EMIs getting over, I'll give this amount of money towards your kingdom. So this is what the statement I always keep on giving as an excuse. But I never see an ending to it. It's always going on in a loop. And in more of that, I also used to get more money from my friends, you know, on a rotational basis. This month I borrow from X, and then I do something else, and the next month I borrow from Y, and then so that I can give back to X and then manage my things. So it was kind of a loop where I got into struggling. It was very challenging for me. But one fine day we decided as a family, no, we will have to come out of it. So we've been very clearly, strongly decided that we will give a portion of our income to God. So the day we decided that we will give the income to our God, it was kind of a testing phase for us. It was kind of a very difficult and challenging situation for us. But then we decided and we went ahead in doing that. But believe me, that's the time when everything has got changed. Everything has got changed within few months. It didn't take a lot of time. I'm saying like it's like within 4 to 6 months of time, everything has got changed. I even got a good job change. I've been following with that company for last 2 years. More than 2 years I was trying attending an interviews. It goes till final step, and then they say like the panel is not available, so we are rescheduling it, we are cancelling it, this and that. I have stopped following up with them. But finally I got a call and I got a good increment as well. And then I was able to have a good hike, and things have happened. And EMIs are still there. In fact, it has increased. God has blessed us with a home. God has blessed us with the house. Everything is still there. But the decision which we have taken has enabled us to move forward. The more we started to give to God, the more the blessings have added up more. So that's what I mean to say here. Like, you know, it's very challenging and critical, but the one step of faith, if we are able to take and move forward, we would definitely see the hand of God in our life. We have definitely can see the blessings of God in any aspects, in any turns. Like, there is definitely no turning point. Like, you know, when we decide and move forward, the more we progress further, the challenges would be there. There will be a lot of consequences happen. We will be struggling in some places. But when we stand firm in the presence of God in doing things what we have been committed to God, I believe that the same God who works in my life, the same God who worked in the life of Job, the same God who worked in this life of this widow of Zarephath, is the same God we are worshipping even today. If He can do in all our lives, why can't He do in our lives as well, in your lives as well? So I request every one of us just to take a moment, like, you know, think about it. What is it? What is it causing me? What is it stopping me? What is that stumbling block which is not allowing me, which is not letting me to move forward in serving God, in doing things for the kingdom of God? We all knew the parable that Jesus spoke about, the talents. There was a man, a master, who gave 5 talents to a person. Then another person he gave 2. There's another person he gave 1. So after some time, when the master came back, the one who received 5 have multiplied it into 10. The one who had received 2 talents have received multiplied it into 4. Whereas the one who had got 1 kept it as it is 1. Now what happened in the end of the story? The one was also pulled back. Whereas the people who have multiplied it were able to rejoice and be part of the master's celebration, master's harmony. So this morning, whatever the gifts, whatever the talents, whatever the resources that God has blessed us with, am I being justified? Will I be able to justify myself if I keep myself in a paying mission and see, am I doing justice to God with what He has blessed us with? Or am I giving excuses? Or just because of this, I will not be able to do this. Where is my stand this morning? Serving God is just living our daily life the way that God wants us to be. It doesn't need any extraordinary steps. It doesn't need any extraordinary talents to do. You don't have to be something extraordinary. No, just be you, who you are, and do things what God has called you to be. That's all enough to serve God. We don't have to do a lot of effort. We don't have to put all the efforts. Jesus has paid it all. He has already paid all the things, and He has given us this connection back to, access back to our Father. He paid it all with Him, in Him, through Him. Now we have the access to our Abba Father. We don't have to struggle all alone with the commitment that I made. Because if I struggle on my own, it's very challenging. It's not possible by my own. But we need His support. He hung on the cross for you and me to be saved. He took it all alone so that we could have an everlasting life. He took it that we might be forgiven. We have Christ now with us. Through Holy Spirit, we don't want to be alone even for a minute. Every minute, every second, wherever we are, we have the Holy Spirit with us, who guides us, who whispers, who instructs, who prompts us what should be done. What job should I pick up? Which location should I go for my vacation? Whom to marry? What should I speak? What should I do? What should be my next step? Every question, we have Holy Spirit with us who can give us the exact answer. Church, can we make that commitment this morning once again? No matter whatever it is, Lord, I will serve You, Lord. In spite of what was our past, in spite of whatever we hold today or whatever we have lost, no matter whatever it is, what has happened has happened. But now, what is my state? What is my step of action towards things that God is calling us to? Can we just bow down our heads and just think on this? How am I using my abilities? How am I using my talents? How am I using my resources that God has blessed me with? Where am I serving God? Jesus says this, No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one, love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and man. Whom am I serving this morning? Whom am I committing to serve the rest of my life? To whom am I surrendering my life into? To whose hand am I? It's not possible to serve both. Lord, we take this decision this morning. We surrender our lives once again into your hand. We say, we serve you, Lord. Me and my household, we serve you, Lord. So we are also going to take part in the Lord's table this morning. I still request everyone to reach it very far. Whatever the point it is, where we are struggling, let's make this commitment very meaningful this morning. Let's make it very meaningful. God is calling us. God has a purpose for every individual seated inside this room. Everyone are a chosen person. God has a plan for each of us. God has given us a plan into our hands this week. Are we ready? God's looking for our availability. God's looking for our response. What is it this morning? As we make this commitment, I request a pastor to come.